A lot of people, I guess, are in this season that we are in, are disconnected. People are alienated, isolated, disjointed in all aspects of relationships.
That was Bishop Ferdy Kabiling in one of our monthly Every Nation Philippines staff meetings. Bishop Ferdy talks about God's call for us to pursue Him and His mission together through discipleship. Welcome to the Leading Together podcast, where we take an inside look at how we develop a leadership culture at Victory and Every Nation Philippines. We hope this helps you lead better together with others wherever God has called you to lead. I'm Ryan, I'm part of our staff in Victory and Every Nation Philippines. We're glad to have you listen to this episode of Leading Together. What do we mean when we say discipleship is relationship? In this episode, Bishop Ferdy talks about our God-given threefold call to follow God, fish for people, and fellowship with other believers.
I had the chance to travel last August, and Pastor Philip, one of our apostolic leaders in South Africa, invited me. And so I just decided to take some guys with me. Some weren't available, but I took some, and I got a Pastor Jed, our youth pastor from Ortigas, and I got Pastor Edre, our senior pastor from Las Piñas. And I think after the trip, a 10-day trip, they decided not to join me in any trip anymore. We were like real wind going to 5 cities within 10 days. And I'm sorry, guys. I forgot to apologize to you. But when we were, the last session we had was in the U-Belt of South Africa called Stellenbosch. It's almost like U-Belt all over again, Pastor CJ. It's just the only difference is there's no HEPA food there. I mean, Stellenbosch is like Europe. And yet when you meet the students, it's like being in U-Belt. It's just amazing. Should you go to our world conference, visit Stellenbosch, the place to go where the students are. But amazing. And then while we were about to start the service, I took a photo of this. And I was just looking at this thing. I don't know if we have it, but it's a photo. And they define disciples as a disciple, we want to encounter Christ, experience community, and extend His kingdom. So when I saw it, I said, I like that. I like that. This other way of saying things, basically, it's our three F's. And then I called on Pastor Mark, the CJ of South Africa. I called on him and says, what is this for? What is this three E's you have here? Oh, we heard it from Pastor Fuller from the States, Brett Fuller, and I heard it, so we kind of use it. I said, great, that's amazing. And it was just something that I took picture on, and we started the service, and I was thinking about our the same spirit, the same passion for the campus, and the same heart for discipleship. Three or four months ago, we had a conversation with the Bishop Council, and Pastor Gilbert mentioned about this one phrase. And right after he said that phrase, I made a research about it, listened to podcasts and checked, and I discovered even something more. And I don't know why Pastor Gilbert mentioned it, but the saying is about warm is the new cool. And when he said that, I said, let me research on that. Then I discovered it was a result of a research, massive research they have done amongst young people in 2017. And they've discovered this, warm is the new cool, which means relationship is the new cool. I'm not trying to talk about being cool. He's saying relationship, whatever age level you're in, is the new cool among young people. And not only that, they have discovered three longings of young people, and they put it through a question. And the first one is the sense of identity. And they ask the question, who am I? And the second, the longing is the sense of belonging. That's why they ask the question, where do I fit? And then the third one is a sense of mission or sense of purpose. So they ask the question, what can I do to make a difference? And when I was looking at it, I realized these are the three F's. The three E's in Stellenbosch. And this is what young people are looking for. They made a book out of it in 2021 during the pandemic and they've released it. And what an amazing thing that truly, even in outside of the church, this is really what young people are seeing. At least this season, what young people are looking for. A sense of identity. Who am I? A sense of belonging. Where do I fit? And a sense of purpose and mission. What can I do to make a difference? And a lot of people, I guess, are in this season that we are in, are disconnected. People are alienated, isolated, disjointed in all aspects of relationships. And we want to look at the scriptures right now in his study. And I want to look at Jesus himself exemplifying these dimensions that we're talking about, the dimensions of relationships, which could be seen through our discipleship. And we're going to look at that right now. The first dimension that Christ has shared, that Christ has shown to us in this passage of his scripture. Thank God for this passage. Luke chapter 6. And it says, and there's this upward connection in this verse. There's an upward connection. And we run to God as his word, and his word always. Because in verse 16, he says, in these days, he went out to the mountain to pray. And all night, to pray, to the mountain to pray. And all night, he continued in prayer to who? To God. We see here the upward connection that is necessary before we consider all other relationships that we have. The first relationship that we need to put priority on is our relationship with God. It's just amazing if we look at all the things that are happening in Asbury, in our universe, in our seminary that we came from. And there's a revival happening, and it's not just a revival in that campus, in Asbury University, just a corner away from our seminary, but it has spread all over the U.S. that now there are 25 campuses that are experiencing the same thing. People, young people are longing for a community with the Lord. They've even come up with a line where people are waiting to come in the chapel. If you're below 25, this is your line. If you're up above 25, this is your line. I don't know when these adults will be able to enter in with all the young people wanting to come in. And I just couldn't help but remember the scripture that says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit among young people and they will prophesy. The longing to be connected with God is so important that Jesus exemplified it himself. I was going through some of the reels download the other day, and I was hearing this person saying, you know, when God created, when he wanted to create fish, he talked to the sea and fish came forth. And he says, and God said, so see, he talked. He commanded the sea. Then when he wanted to have trees, he talked to the earth, and the Bible says God said, and trees came forth. But when he decided to make man, he turned to himself and said, we will make man in our image and likeness. That means our natural environment is God himself, his presence. Just as the natural environment for trees is basically the earth, the soil. And the natural environment for fish is the sea. Our natural environment is in the presence of God. So stay connected with God. You cannot afford to get away and be disconnected from God. from His Word, from your daily discipline, your daily devotion, in searching and in longing to be with the Lord. There was a, I don't know if you remember, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, there was a question there, if you remember, what is the chief end of man? And it's basically said there, and man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I don't think we have a problem trying to glorify God all the rest of our lives. But I have a question for us. Have we been enjoying Him so far? We enjoy Him so far that we want to spend time with Him more than our cell phone. That's the way it is. We glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. Have we been enjoying the Lord? Blessed is the man who's in the presence of God. This is amazing. You know, when we were helping people how to jumpstart a small group way back in year 2002, before we would start a small group, we would gather together, get at least two people from church and pray together for the next 4 weeks. Once a week, we would pray and fast. And then in the evening, we would meet together in a coffee shop. And then we would make a list of people that we know and we talk about it. We introduce them for the next 4 weeks. Four weeks, at least once a day, we would pray and fast before we started a small group. Some of my members cannot even wait. On our third week, they're already inviting us. Why did you? We'll start next week. And they're so excited they couldn't wait. But we would pray and fast together in UCC and we would pray together. Then after 1 month of praying and coming before God, then a small group just has been given, is just born before our eyes. It was amazing. And then we, at some point, decades already, as a movement, we've decided to pray and fast. I think we started 3 days and then 5 days, it became seven. We even wanted to make it 12. But I don't know what happened, Pastor June. We went back to 5. We're backslidden a bit, you know. But we were kind of pushing the, you know, envelope, you know, trying to make it 10 or 12. But we came back to ultimately to 5. Our neighbors are getting wondering about us. The food court downstairs in Ortigas are not earning any money because the people have been fasting for a week. And they're wondering, what's happening? What's happening? Because people are fasting and seeking the Lord. We have friends across, during my time when I was a senior pastor, I have friends with all the pastors in Ortigas, would share our hearts. And then one pastor adopted it, the next pastor adopted it. We are praying and fasting right now in Ortigas. And not only that, but in some movements, they're praying and fasting. We have 5 days of prayer and fasting. July, we go prayer and fasting even 3 days during July. Some of you, you've been praying and fasting every first Thursday of the month. Keep doing that. I met somebody the other day in the wake, and she's from International Justice Organization, and she was telling us how much we've been supporting them. And we're not doing it publicly, but we've been supporting them, giving them money. And she says, but I remember I would go to Ortigas. I would go to Thursday evening. Do you still have that prayer meeting? You've been blessing the body of Christ. And that's amazing. That's something that we can continue to do. Enjoy God forever. Not just glorify Him, but enjoy His presence. The second connection that we need to consider, not just the upward connection, but the inward connection that is important. Jesus has a deliberate effort to choose His followers. And look at what happened. He did His praying, then He chose the disciples. And verse 13, and when the day came, He called His disciples and chose them from them 12, whom He made what? Apostles. The disciples, learners, and students became His messengers and ambassadors. People have been sent. The apostles, the raw material for leadership, are basically the disciples. And this is what we see here. He chose them, Simon, whom He named Peter. Why did He name Simon Peter? Maybe because there's another Simon, so he won't get confused. I don't know. But he named him Peter. Supposed to be Cephas, but he named him Peter. He changed his name from Simon Sinking Sand to Peter the Rock. And he did it. Andrew, his brother. Some of them, there were descriptions. Some just names, by names. Some with descriptions. Simon the called Peter. Andrew the brother. James and John and Philip Bartholomew. They just named them, you know. Bartholomew probably is Nathaniel. And Matthew and Thomas and James, son of Alphaeus. And Simon, who was the zealot. And Judas, son of James. He has to name Judas, son of James. Because there's another Judas. Now, is Jesus perfect in his inward relationship? Well, one of them was even named the traitor. Now, tell me about your problem again in your small group. Tell me your problem again. Have you been betrayed lately? Have you had enough reason? So hurt. Your hurt is not enough good reason not to trust again. You are not destined to be isolated. You are not destined to be alienated. You are not destined to be disconnected, to be disjointed. We are designed for relationships. We want one another. We need one another. Some of you, sick ko na lang si Lord. Kami na lang ni Lord, close na close kami. I love the Lord, but I just hate people. I don't know if that's the life of a disciple. But we see here something that is very important that Jesus showed us. He went to the mountain and prayed to his God. He was God himself. There's no need for him to pray. He could have just chosen people, but he did pray before he chose. He did pray before he started his small group. He did pray before he preached the Sermon on the Mount. He did pray before power came out of him. He prayed first in that mountain. Amen? Important relationship. Upward relationship. Our inward relationship is important. The Lord had 72 of them. They had a crowd. He had a crowd. He had 72. He had 12. He had 3. He didn't have time to explain why there are only 3 out of 12. The people did not, you know, they didn't resent that Jesus had 3. The 72 didn't resent that he had 12. Why am I not part of the 12? There's no question about it. Jesus just did it. He had relationships in different levels. Do you have those relationships? I'm asking that question not just to you, but to me. Especially for pastors. When we get in there, we fear having friendship with the members of our church. We're trying to be as professional as possible, but we end up isolating ourselves sometimes. But how many know we have here with us people whom we can love and trust and reciprocate in our relationship? Right here, look at the person next to you right now. You better be reconciled with that person. No more resentment. You better forgive that person right now. No more worrying. No more resentment. The next one. Right after this, Jesus. Jesus had his upward connection settled. Then he had his inward connection, chose the disciples. It grew. We all know that when he died, there were at least 500 of them, the Bible says. But he started off with the 12. He met up with them. It wasn't perfect, but he believed in them and trusted them anyway and sent them forth. And that's what discipleship is all about. We just don't do things alone. We try to get people with us to join us in this endeavor. And then what happened here was that he settled his upward connection, his inward connection. The last one is outward connection. What happened here? Jesus dedicated to reach the lost and dying world around him. Verse 17, we're just going through the verses here. Verse 17, and he came down with them. Say with them. Amen. Don't do ministry alone. Enough with superstars. We don't believe in the spiritual superstars. I've experienced that one time. I know how it is to see someone who is a spiritual superstar. I've experienced it. Not that I became superstar. I met a superstar. During the service, he dismissed the service and he says, if you want to meet me and my wife, we'd like to meet you at the foyer. True enough, we were like a platoon lined up at the foyer just to meet up with the pastor. Then he came out and shook each other's hand, took photos, and I was like, what am I doing here lining up to meet this guy? But for the sake of my sister, okay. So we took pictures and then I said, hey, you're doing a fantastic job. You're doing a good job. I shook his hand and said, you're doing a good job. Could you imagine a Filipino telling this American guy who had thousands in his church, and I said, you're doing a fantastic job. Maybe you never heard that before. But I did with my sister there. So feel free to go to the Philippines. And then after him, we took a photo, and then his wife, you know, took a photo. Maybe we can do that in our services, Pastor Gilbert. Every after service, Sunday. Pastor Nixon. Yeah, so the photo of... And me and the guy? Yeah, someday I'll show it. Yeah. So I'll make a blog about it. Yeah. I show that photo. You're doing a good job. And what a superstar. But God is not looking for superstars. He's looking for disciples who'll be willing to be sent in word relationship. The next one is outward connection. And he went, and he says in verse 17, he came down with them. He stood on the level place, and a great crowd of his disciples and great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and to heal of their diseases. They came to hear him preach. They came to get healed. And power came out of him and healed them all. Hallelujah. Why? Maybe because those other guys brought in the power as well. He went with them. He didn't just go there by himself. It was a strategic move for him to go down with them to reach the world. And that's very crucial. You know, in 1959, Volvo discovered the three-point safety belt in 1959 by Bill Boland. And when he discovered it, they patented it because it was required to patent every this invention you get to do. But what they did was in 1959, they have given up the patent and share it to the automotive world, to manufacturers. Why? They asked this Swedish German engineer and asked him. It is basically because the life-saving three-point seat belt was too significant not to share. In other words, because in life, some things are too important not to share. There are things in life that is too important not to share, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it cannot just be done by one person. It could at least, if we can just have the few. If we can just, don't get overwhelmed with the crowds. Get your few. And out of the few, we will change the world. If Jesus did it, and let me end with this. Jesus did it. Jesus effectively modeled relational discipleship, not just for the 12 to emulate then in the first century, but for us as well today. In the 21st. This is something that we can emulate 2,000 years later and prioritize our upward connection, our inward connection, and our outward connection. Jesus did it. He wants us all to do it as well. You know what? We can use this as a diagnostic question as well in our own lives. We can ask this question. We can use this for our church as a movement. We can use this as a diagnostic question in our small group. Who among you here, you have a small group, you love to hear the word of God, and you want just the six of you forever. How many know you only are using the two dimension of that relationship? There's no outward relationship there. It's not healthy. You are not designed for the two-way discipleship, two-way, two-dimension relationship. We are designed for the three-way dimension of relationship across the board. And you can also apply it as a diagnostic question, a diagnostic test for yourself. How is my relationship with the Lord? How is my small group? Have we been meeting already after the pandemic? Did you guys resume? I have a hard time resuming. They're all having their own things. I'm still, up to now, I'm still deciphering. How can I bring these people back in what relationship? The third one is our outward relationship. Let's ask that question. Let me put this question right now. Take 2 to 3 minutes. I put this question here. I want you to get a partner because 2 is the smallest divisible number in discipleship. So get a partner and ask this question and then pray together. Can we do that? All right, get a partner quickly. Get a partner. Ask this question. Which of one of the three dimensions do you think you need strengthening and prayer for? Then pray for one another. Let's just do that right now. Thank you, Lord.
Here are some questions to think about as you discuss with someone. 1, what's one discipline that you can practice to help you stay connected with God? And 2, do you need to be reconciled with someone? What is God speaking to you about that relationship? We are not destined to be disconnected from others. Our relationship with God is not designed to be pursued alone. Truly, we are designed for relationships. Thanks for listening. If this has been helpful for you, feel free to share and discuss it with someone you think will be encouraged by this podcast. If you are not part of a Victory group yet, visit us at victory.org.ph to find a church near you and get connected. See you in the next episode of Leading Together.